all across the globe, the various parts, you are seeing dissatisfaction with the way of life, dissatisfaction with government overreach, dissatisfaction with people who do not let you be who you were designed to be. Our framers, our founders, of course, they said in the very frame, the very breath of life, something was endowed to you. This is the American ideal. It is the law in this country. It is a natural law that we're talking about, and we're seeing offense to it everywhere. One of the most outspoken advocates for medical freedom, personal freedom, knowledge, which seems so scarce nowadays, is our next guest, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We just love her. She's an outspoken advocate for free choice in health care, including the right to refuse health care, specifically vaccinations, among other things. Vaxxer.com, V-A-X-X. TER is one of her websites, and vaccinereserchlibrary.com is one of the other. It's fantastic to have her on. Sherry Tenpenny, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you so much, Daniel. It's always a pleasure to be your guest.
We have seen, let's start out of the country. I think this is a massive story. They're all massive stories today. I mean, we talked about the guns in Virginia earlier. Just massive stories across the board. Samoa, we see it from, 10,000 miles away. Tell us about Samoa. What in the world went on there, and what is your reaction to it?
Well, I wrote an article that's actually on Vaxxer that was called The Crisis in Samoa. So if people wanted to drill down on what the real specifics are with that, it's kind of a timeline of what happened starting last year when two children died almost immediately after receiving an MMR vaccine, which then turned into an investigation, and two nurses were indicted and charged with, I believe, second-degree murder or manslaughter, I guess, and were sentenced to years in prison. The vaccination rate, which had already been low, had dropped lower to like 30%. There was a few outbreaks of measles, but this had been going on for a really long time. In fact, the people that are there, we've been in contact with some activists. I've actually posted an article of a direct interview with an activist from New Zealand who's there, saying there's all kinds of government cover-up. They imported, I believe it was over 250,000 vaccines of MMR, vials of MMR for a population that's like less than 200,000 or something like that. All the numbers are detailed in the article that I wrote. And as soon as they started vaccinating, we started seeing these severe reactions, and I believe the death rate is now up to 75 children. But what we're trying to figure out is the death rate from measles. Is the death rate because of the MMR vaccine? They were vaccinating everyone, including adults and children who had previously had measles. They took away their right to be seen by holistic healers on the in the island that had always taken care of these children with vitamin C and vitamin A. It wasn't until the children got really sick and they were in the hospital that UNICEF started shipping in vitamin A, and they were giving it to them late, and some of them couldn't retain the vitamin A because they were throwing up. And it's a complete monstrosity there, Daniel. And there's more. This is the beginning of that story. It's not. I don't even think we're at the middle of the story, because the country of Samoa has actually hired forensic pathologists to come in and do autopsies on several of the children that they are not releasing to their families who have died and are still in the morgues. And they're trying to figure out what these children actually died from, because as we know, measles is abundantly benign, and the vast majority of people who contract measles get a fever, a rash, and a cough, and it goes, and if they have adequate nutrition, they have vitamin C and vitamin A, it goes away in 7 to 10 days and leaves behind a lifetime of immunity. So this whole travesty of these deaths, and, we're trying to get some of the vaccines investigated and examined to see, were there any contaminants in there, that, like the Corvelva story that they found all those contaminants in the Gardasil vaccine and one of the other vaccines that has DPT in it. And
they found all those. You talking about Kenya?
About Corvelva is a scientific research body, their lab, and they investigated a vaccine called Hexavax. It's like six vaccines in one. They also investigated Gardasil, and they found all types of contaminated junk in those vaccines that could only have gotten there from two ways. One would be horribly sloppy manufacturing practices, and the other would be intentional contamination. There's nothing much else that could have laced a Gardasil vaccine with with antipsychotic medication, antidepressant medication. And so, and I had all kinds of contaminants that they couldn't even identify. So I only tossed that out there to say that perhaps those lots of vaccines that were shipped into Samoa had contaminants in them. Maybe they had some sort of a strange strain of the measles in them. We don't really know. And that's why this is a, in the middle of the investigation, we're trying to find out why did all these children die? Children don't usually die like that. And I think that there is going to be a boots on the ground investigation. I believe that Children's Health Defense and Bobby Kennedy's team is going to pull forward some, a report that's going to expose a lot of corruption, and it's going to expose the fact that the World Health Organization and UNICEF thought they could get away with something by creating this level of havoc in a tiny island nation in the South Pacific, so far away that perhaps nobody would pay attention. But we're paying attention, and we've got a close eye on it.
So, two or three important questions going back to the. The timeline. We reference this story all over and over in the news. You can go to thepowerhour.com, click news if you can't find it, or you can go to her website, Baxter. You click on the news. I think today the story is there. You can click. It'll go right to her website if you want to be able to find that. In that timeline that the government was involved with UN representatives, WHO representatives, we're hearing rumors or stories, evidence, that they were mandating door-to-door vaccinations. Address that.
They were. In fact, there was a 48-hour period of time that no cars or any other vehicles were allowed on the streets except for police, ambulances in the case of emergency, and these mobile vaccination trucks that went from door to door and set up tents and vaccinated, and I said, everyone. They were revaccinating adults, adolescents. When parents were saying, my child already had measles and recovered, doesn't matter, they were going to vaccinate them. It was a vaccination campaign to vaccinate everyone.
That doesn't make sense. For a medical reason,
no
it doesn't make sense.
This.
The only
no
thing that makes sense, yes. What was their initial justification? Because there were a couple cases. There weren't even any cases until before they started this program, or there wasn't an outbreak. Is that true?
I believe that there was a small outbreak that had happened, and I'm going to say that it was around 75 cases that they started seeing it, and then they decided to declare an emergency when UNICEF sent in a bunch of vaccines, and then another 100,000 vials came in from New Zealand. And so this is what happens with this mass craziness about vaccination, that as soon as there's some small outbreak of what's called a vaccine-preventable infection, there is this rallying cry. It's like you go after there's a fly in your kitchen and you go after it with a bazooka, a military bazooka,
yeah.
You know, because it's like this huge, complete, over-the-top reaction to make sure that this doesn't happen again and that this doesn't spread to other people. And the thing about the vaccine is that when you get any vaccine, whether it's an MMR vaccine, a flu shot, a DPT, doesn't matter. From the time that you are injected, it takes anywhere from 7 to 21 days for your body to react and develop an antibody anyways. So it's not immediate protection, and it can cause a whole lot of havoc in someone who doesn't need it. And a measles outbreak usually lasts somewhere from 7 to 14 days. So by the time the vaccine develops what they call a protective antibody, the outbreak is already over, and then they can parade around and thump their chest saying, see, all those vaccines stopped this outbreak.
Let's talk about the rates, when I say rates, the vaccination rate. There's a specific case, I think 2018, or a couple cases where children died. They prosecuted these nurses. The vaccine rate went plummeted even further than what it was already down. Talk about a little bit about the environment. So the Samoans weren't about these vaccinations before this.
No, they weren't. They've been treated by naturopaths and holistic healers forever for measles. And they would use vitamin C and vitamin A. And in that article that I wrote that's on Vaxxer that's called Crisis in Samoa, it actually talks about, I quote the World Health Organization talking about that in third world countries, which Samoa definitely is, if you were there, you wouldn't know that you weren't in Africa by the conditions. And it actually, the World Health Organization actually recommends on a global public health scale that all of these countries are supposed to give their children 2 doses of vitamin A per year. And it comes as a liquid drop that they just do. It costs pennies. And they just give these children 2 drops of liquid of vitamin A underneath their tongue twice a year for a preventive to measles, or if they get measles, it will be a very mild case. And that was another thing I wrote about in the article, is that was this a failure of the World Health Organization to provide Samoa with vitamin A on an annualized basis like their policy says they should, and therefore they had this outbreak and maybe more severe measles, and so is the recoil event actually because they really messed up?
This reminds me of gun laws. People say, somebody shot up a theater. We need more gun laws to do this. Well, we already have gun laws to correct this. Oh, well, that doesn't matter. We didn't do those. We need new ones. It's like we need new policies. These old policies, well, what do you mean? You didn't do it. You didn't give them the vitamin A. What are you talking about? It's insane. Let me go back. You mentioned a forensic pathology. Some of the children are not being released to their families. The government is doing research to see what? To see where the strain came from? What?
Well, some of it to see what strain it is. I've heard from various sources that they now think there's 3 different strains that may have caused the outbreak. One is a serostrain A, which is the measles strain that is in the vaccine. There's another strain called D8, and they think there's a third strain, which I don't remember what the serotype was. But what happens is when you eliminate one particular serotype of any of these vaccine preventable things, when you eliminate one of those serotypes, the other serotypes fall into the gap. You know, nature abhors a vacuum. And so they fall into the gap, and mostly they become a more virulent, more aggressive type of strain than the ones that we eliminated with the vaccine. We've seen that with Prevnar, with strep. We are now seeing it with Hib, with the Haemophilus influenza B. There's 6 strains of that. We've eliminated the B type strain, and so now the A and the F type strains are coming forward and becoming more virulent. We've seen it with chickenpox, which now we have shingles epidemics. It goes, I could list on and on and on, you know, what's happening here. And so the forensic pathologists, though, are looking at, why did these children die? Was it because it was a more aggressive type of measles? Was it because of their stated malnutrition and really low levels of vitamin A and vitamin C? Was it because, and I had heard rumors that, or not heard rumors, but from a source, that now they're thinking that many of the children who got very sick and died didn't have measles at all, but they had dengue. They had dengue fever, which is another type of viral infection that spread. It's a mosquito-borne illness. And dengue in sick populations can be deadly and fatal in children, and that's why they were testing. I don't know if you remember, Daniel, but last summer they were testing a new dengue fever vaccine in the Philippines, and hundreds of children died.
Yes.
Hundreds. They pulled it off the market. They sued Santa Fe Pasteur. And now, of course, they're bringing it back again under a different label with a different list of indications. I mean, there's never been a vaccine they've developed that they don't fall in love with and think everyone should have it.
I don't, no matter what your belief is one way or another about vaccines and you're listening to this broadcast, what you cannot deny, or you can't logically deny, let's put it that way, is that there have been case after case vaccines, having the wrong vaccine, having a mistake, having a manufacturing error or whatever. They admit to hundreds of thousands of millions of vials of these vaccines that have been a mistake. You cannot deny that, correct?
That's correct.
All right, let me ask you another. Disneyland, I know in America, you know, oh my gosh, kid, children at Disneyland are getting measles, and it's because of the unvaccinated. I can remember, you correct me if I'm wrong, I remember a report that they studied that strain of the measles, and it actually came from the vaccines. Do you have any thoughts
of
that?
Yeah, that's right. I think it was something like... It was something like 27 out of 35 of the cases. Don't hang your hat on that.
Yeah,
but
the majority.
That's the majority. That's what sticks out in my head was these children that became ill were many of them were unvaccinated because those that were vaccinated shed the virus and then it made other people sick. And so it's it was vaccine strain A. I mean, I wrote about that. That's on Vaxxer also. So we, you know, our Vaxxer is our daily news article. And I changed the site in July. That now I have writers that actually, you know, I've hired writers to write more in depth, more highly linked and referenced articles. So because I'm wanting Vaxxer to become one of the go to sites that when you want to have a very well-written article that has good references and links to PubMed and other types of scientific journals, you can go to Vaxxer and find that article that you can print or that you can email and send to your unbelieving friends.
I like how you said that. In 2000, the CDC said that measles was eradicated from America. I don't know how they could judge that, but that's what they said.
I don't know how they could judge that either. They claim that, but yet they never had a big celebration about it like they did about smallpox. You know,
yeah.
Suddenly, quietly, we don't have it anymore, which is an absolute lie, because measles as a virus has a life cycle of every 5 to 8 years, you're going to see an uptick in measles infections, irrespective of vaccination rate. We could have a 100% across the board vaccination rate of every human on the planet, and you're still going to see a measles outbreak every 5 to 8 years.
Is it true that only one person in America has died of measles since about 2015 or something like that?
I think that's what's been widely reported. I think I believe that's pretty close. And I do believe it was something. It was a. Now that I think that the person that died from measles, they also had some other underlying health condition. It wasn't just the measles.
So we're talking about less than the people you can put on one hand have died of measles in the last, what is it now, four to 5 years in America. And you would think that it is the bubonic plague the way they talk about this measles.
I know. And all of us, like your age and my age and older, we all had measles when we were a kid.
I don't think I did. I'm not that old yet, Dr. Tinfey. I had chicken pox. My mother had measles. My mother got me. In fact, my grandmother toted her and my uncle down to the neighbor kid, and they all got measles together.
Well, I remember it, and I had a really, really, really bad case of the measles. I remember it distinctly. A really high fever, lasted for days, couldn't keep any food down. But when I recovered, I believe I attribute that to one of the reasons why I'm so healthy as a 62-year-old adult.
Well, that's what science proves, isn't it? I mean, Tom Cowan's been on here, the show, talking about that. Your immune system actually develops and gets stronger as you go through that childhood disease.
Right, that's exactly right.
Cancer's less.
Yep, they used to call it our rite of passage illnesses.
Wow, when did this turn into? I mean, just logically,
this turned into the nightmare that it is in 1991. In 1986, when they passed the Injury Compensation Act, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, to where the pharmaceutical industry has complete liability protection for their faulty products. Because after that, they said, we've got an open door to manufacture as many and as much as we want. Have at it. And then in 1991, when they introduced hepatitis B at birth, the Hib vaccine at 2, 4, and 6 months, chickenpox in 1995, hepatitis A in 97, Prevnar in 2000, and it just marches on. They
now, what
developed the meningitis vaccines, the Gardasil vaccines, and there's more than 200 in the developmental type pipeline. Now, some say 300, and that's true, but many of those are cancer vaccines. Yes. And so they're not just for infections. They are a therapeutic, like a breast cancer vaccine or a DNA genetic vaccine, or we're going after an addiction vaccine now.
Oh, my gosh.
And, nothing could possibly go wrong there, right? Nothing could possibly go wrong if we're developing vaccines to target specific genes in your body. I mean, if it's off by 1%, what kind of a disaster does that create?
They can't even get the right things in the vial as it is. When they send it to, you know, Kenya or whatever, they can't even get a clean vial. Gosh. So what you're saying, let me summarize here a little bit to make something so clear. You correct me if I'm wrong. The actual proliferation of the vaccines in regards to measles, it may help reduce some strain of the measles, but actually makes the other ones more virulent and more aggressive.
Well, I think I would restate it this way.
Okay.
I would say that what the vaccine does is, let's say there's an outbreak of measles serotype A, and I have measles, and you get the vaccine, you develop an antibody against serotype A, it helps to block the transmission of the virus from one person to another. And in order for a viral illness to propagate in a community, it has to spread. So if that can block the spread, I can't spread it to anyone else, and so that serotype dies off. It goes away. Because it's not propagating anymore. So if there's 100 viruses and it drops to zero and it doesn't propagate anymore, there are still something like 12 other serotypes of measles. And so the next soldier standing in line comes to the forefront and becomes more aggressive because it fills into the gap of the one that was just eliminated.
And because children didn't naturally go through this, like you said, rite of passage illness, and their immune system developed, now they're even more susceptible to the next soldier in line.
That's exactly right. And long-term immunity does not come through a needle. I mean, it doesn't.
Oh, I love that. Say that again.
Immunity does not come through a needle.
Wow, there's the music. More with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Vaxxer.com is her website. These are important articles. Samoa, even the one on Disneyland. I gotta find. You know, I googled that, and it's like it disappeared. I couldn't find it. You know that thing about Disneyland and the. Anyway, we'll be right back. More with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. You're listening to the Power Hour.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Man of Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Since H.G. Wells, everyone has speculated that the coming of an alien civilization would be to invade, plunder, and pillage our planet. But is that really the only scenario? Galacom 4 by Martin St. James ponders on a different type of alien visitation, one that has far-reaching implications to our modern-day society. Enter into a comical world where aliens visit planet Earth and take a peek as to how they would see us. Galacom 4, The End Is Near, is available to the Power Hour listeners through Amazon, and if you hurry now, you'll receive a savings of $6 through the month of January. This is a very unique book that we are pleased to be promoting at the Power Hour. We promise you will be engaged and entertained from start to finish. Visit thepowerhour.com or call 877-817-9829 for more information. Again, that's 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made good for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thepowermall.com. Joyce, of course, brought all those products together. We're continuing. We're adding Dr. Sherry Tenpenny will be joining us in just a second. The Good Health Naturally products, the curcumin, Sarah Enzyme, vitamin D3. How important is vitamin D3? Well, you heard Robert explained it last half hour. Lithium Balance, Alpha Lipoic Acid R, and the Health Point Kit, all on sale over at the Power Mall. Other products from Dr. Group, Lateral Flora, backed by popular demand, the Liver Trex. You feeling a little down? You want to start your health getting back in a good way? A good place to start is your liver, We have codes online, DEC5, DEC10 you can use. You can see those banners at our website, thepowermall.com. And also Chocomax from North American Urban Spice, the Super Krill Oil, and the Silver Lozenges, and the Silver from Optavita, Frank Davis, is also on sale. That krill oil, my wife is really liking that. I think it's, we'll keep you updated. I'll have her talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'll have her come on, but, check out that krill oil, the Power Mall. Thank you for your support, for your purchases, your donations, your energy. Who you are is more important than it has ever been, ever, in probably the history of this earth, this moment. Just hold the line, be who you are, stand and support the good guys, buy for the good guys, right here at the Power Mall, Vaxster.com support, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Thank you. Thank you so much, and you're welcome for what we do. Getting back to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, her great news aggregate website on the vaccine issue is Vaxster.com, V-A-X-X-T-E-R, Vaxster.com. She is rapidly becoming, certainly for me, the voice of vaccine information, vaccine choice, just common sense, really. And we're excited to have her on. We talked the first half hour a lot about Samoa. Now let's get back to America, the United States soil. A lot is going on here. No, we're not going door to door yet, but we're having some very draconian things happen. Let's talk about New Jersey, Dr. Tenpenny.
Well, New Jersey was one of those times when we get to celebrate a small win in this giant war. It's like, you know, we really have to celebrate our wins, Daniel. In fact, I was speaking with someone earlier today about that, that it seems like so many times we're getting clobbered that when we do get a win, we don't take the time to really celebrate it. And New Jersey was definitely a win. And it was a win because of the power of activism. You know, Sayer G has an organization now that is operated that can send out powerful emails. And we hammered New Jersey legislators with over 80,000 emails in a 24-hour period of time. Now, can you imagine what that would do to your inbox if suddenly you had tens of thousands of emails and phone calls and faxes, and there were reportedly more than 5,000 people that showed up at Trenton, and there was a Democratic senator who said, "I'm not doing this. I'm not voting it." And the head of the committee knew that he didn't have the votes, and if he would have brought the bill actually to be voted on, it would have got voted down, which means it could never be introduced again. It would have to be rewritten and start over again. So instead, what he did was he pulled the bill. He delayed the vote, and I've been told that the next vote is January the 13th. And so, but in between now and then, who knows what sort of crazy thing they could pull at midnight on New Year's, on Christmas Eve, you know? So people have to remain vigilant during this holiday season. And then we're going to have a full court press again of grassroots activism. And Bobby Kennedy put a really cool post on his Instagram account. And one of the things that he said that I thought was so powerful was he said, if we were able to stop this vote or at least make it be delayed right in the epicenter of pharmaceutical industry in here in America, there are 4 international headquarters of pharmaceutical houses in New Jersey, and we were able to at least fend it off, then our movement is growing and becoming ever more powerful to where we might be reaching that 10% tipping point. You know, that we've talked about that a little bit. And there's an article that was written in 2011 about that tipping point. And I want to read just a sentence or two here?
Absolutely.
It says, of this article that was published in 2011, that was research that was done at the Rensselaer Polytech Institute, found that when just 10% of a population holds an unshakable belief, their belief will always be adopted by the majority of the society. When the number is lower than 10%, there's no visible progress in the spread of idea. But once it becomes above 10% of the population, the idea spreads like wildfire. And in other words, the percentage of committed opinion holders required to influence a society remains at approximately 10%, regardless of how or where that opinion starts and spreads. I believe that, you know, that was such a reaffirming. I pulled that article up. I actually wrote a small article about it back when this was published in 2011. And I realize now why all of the grassroots stuff, all of the seed planting, all the things that I've done for the last 19 years that I've been so fervently trying to spread the words that vaccine are not safe, they don't protect you, they do cause harm. We need to do away with this industry. It's causing much more harm than any possible benefit that's coming from it. Why I understand why that was all seed planting that I was doing for the last 19 years to be able to have it grow up to reach that 10%. And now with the platforms that Del Bigtree has and you have and Robert Scott Bell and Bobby Kennedy and all these different places, we are getting a greater and greater grassroots swelling. And there's innumerable internet sites like Pete Santilli and different places on YouTube that are not afraid to stand up and speak out about this vaccine industry. And I believe that perhaps even globally we're reaching a 10% population thing. I mean, if the world population is 7 billion, we need 700 million people. That doesn't seem like a lot to me for in order for us to completely change and implode this immoral, unethical, and dangerous practice called vaccination.
There's to further what you're saying, we've discussed this a lot on this channel with all kind of different guests. Three things have to happen. You have to have people that are convicted, they're willing to proselyte, willing to spread the message, and then are immune to resistance. Exactly what you're saying, they're influenced. They are convicted, willing to spread it, and it doesn't matter what you tell them. You can tell that I don't care what you tell some people. You can tell me anything you want about vaccines at this point. I don't care what you tell me. You will not change my mind, and you will not get me to stop talking about it. See, I am one of that 10%. Dr. Tenpenny is one of these 10%. If you're out there listening, you can be one of that 10%. Once you hit 10% of a population, we're talking about America now, then it grows so fast it explodes. And to prove the point even further, all you need to do is look to American history. Samuel Adams, probably the most famous quote he ever did, one of the most famous quotes of any of our founding fathers, he said, "It does not take a minority to achieve victory. It takes an irate minority willing to set brush fires in the mind of men." Samuel Adams understood this perfectly. He understood this concept. And what, from 1740 to 1775, Americans like Samuel Adams, George Whitefield, George Washington, the Great Awakening, all they did for, was that 30 years, reading John Locke, Thomas Jefferson, all of them, is pump America full of these ideas and concepts to where it became so against their core being that they looked at King George and saw him as an anathema, saw him as a disgrace. And the only logical conclusion was independence. Well, we're getting to that point with vaccines. And no matter how dark, how do I know that? It's just like with guns. How do I know? Because they pushed in California. They're pushing in New Jersey. They're pushing in all these states. You're seeing in Samoa the operation there that they just did. They are pushing so hard because you don't think that they understand that principle? You don't think that they got algorithms and they got Google? What do you think all this surveillance is all about? And they understand, oh my gosh, we don't get a lid on this in the next little bit. We're in trouble. You don't think they know that? And so when somebody tells you your opinion doesn't matter, or you're a mother and your child was vaccinated and damaged, oh, that can never happen. Oh, just sit in the corner and just go away and I don't want to hear from you. When you hear people saying that, you should be buoyed even more. And your opinion and who you are and the God-given right and of your personality and the dominion that you have, you should feel even stronger about it. And you should even be louder and more boisterous. And then you will double. Go find somebody that believes to convert to your opinion and watch how fast this changes. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is the example here on this. We can get back and we can do this, Dr. Tenpenny. Go ahead.
We can. And not only can we must. We must. We're talking about the survival of the human race here, the survival and the ability of the next generation of humans to procreate. We're talking about the ability for families to exist in health and not in having chronically sick kids. And I'm not even talking about autism. I mean, to me, autism is the far end of the spectrum. It's the worst case scenario. I'm talking about other illnesses.
Allergies.
Kids, asthma, allergies, eczema, ADD, ADHD, insulin-dependent diabetes, neurological problems, tics, seizures, depression, anxiety. There's a long list of things that are happening to our children because they're being injected with foreign matter that doesn't belong there in an insane attempt to avoid a fever, a cough, and a rash.
There's a line from the Declaration of Independence. I always go back to that. The more I research that, the more I am just so blown away by what our founders accomplished. Really, a miracle. One of the lines of the Declaration of Independence says something to the effect, we've seen a long train of abuses. What other end can we come to than this is a tyranny? Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question, meaning the audience and you, Dr. Tenpenny. When you see this long train of historical actions toward the American people, not just about vaccines, about guns or about government or whatever, specifically vaccines now, when you look back over the last, since 1986 to now, where the liability was taken away. Even common sense, even lawsuits, they have to prove scientific studies. All when you look at that from that point till now, what in the world other conclusion can you come to that something is afoot and some kind of control is being executed or experiment is being executed on us? What other conclusion could you come to?
There aren't any. It, you know, vaccination is a mass controlling, mass human experimentation. It has been from the very beginning, from Jenner, from smallpox, and it's so hard for people to get their head around that, Daniel, because it's a belief, it's a faith, it's a religion. It's something that they trust and believe in.
What is that? Well, let me stop you. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, what she's saying. What is that core belief? You say this is a religion. What is the core principle of that religion that holds them there?
The core belief is, I trust my doctor, I believe that these things have been tested, and I believe that they will keep my child from becoming ill. None of which are true. Your doctor knows nothing about it. They've not been thoroughly tested ever for safety or efficacy or for protection. And they not only don't prevent infection, they cause disease. Infection is something that comes and goes in 7 to 10 days and for the most part leaves behind immunity. That's an infection. Disease is something that comes and stays, like diabetes, like seizure disorders, like Crohn's disease. Vaccines can be given and you can still contract the illness, so they don't prevent you from getting sick. But they do cause disease. They can cause that long list of illness that we talked about. So the belief is all based on false premises. They trust their doctor, who for the most part knows nothing about vaccines. They trust they've been tested, which they haven't, and they trust they're going to keep their children from getting sick, which they don't.
There's a, you know, my uncle, he does the news with me. He's sitting here listening to you. And we've talked about this a lot. At some point after 9/11, I had a discussion with my uncle and said, this was an inside job. This is not what you've been told. I mean, I don't know what happened, but at the very least, this is not smell right. Something's wrong here. Well, he thought I was a lunatic and we had a fight. We basically didn't talk for 6 months. And that was a very educational moment for both of us, because what I was telling my uncle was that I wasn't telling him that the Twin Towers fell down under suspicious circumstances. That wasn't what I was telling him. That's not what made him mad. What I was telling him is the government doesn't care about 3,000 people and they'll kill them just like that and they'll lie to you about it. And so when we're saying these things about vaccines, like, here's my neighbor and here's my child and it was healthy and then I got a vaccine and now it can't talk. And I know that happened and I know the vaccine did it. What that mother is telling people is not that my child was injured. What that mother is saying is the whole vaccine thing is a scam and can damage or even kill your child. It's like, whoa. Oh my gosh. It's like too much to process or something. It's like they can't swallow all that.
Well, the thing, it's when it's a multi-generational indoctrination and it's challenging someone's belief system. And what I've worked hard to do over these last 19 years is to get people to understand you're having a belief in something that doesn't exist. You know, I mean,
it's like Santa Claus.
Yeah, like Santa Claus, or an atheist could say that about a Christian. You have a belief in something that doesn't exist. Prove God exists. Well, we do have a belief system in vaccines, and we do prove that vaccines can cause harm. I mean, the government has paid out $4.2 billion
in
injury compensation claims. Yeah. So we know they cause harm. How many people do you know, Daniel, that say, I got a flu shot, and then I got the flu, and I've never been so sick in my life? And what's the excuse?
A lot.
Oh, you were going to get the flu anyways. Oh, it had nothing to do with the vaccine. Oh, you know, it's like it's just a coincidence. You know, we're going to get sick anyways. And so there's always a lame story to continue to promote and jack up and, you know, lift up underneath the whole thing about vaccines. You know, the CDC came out with a statement the other day. It was on Twitter that it's like we have to address these people who question and challenge vaccines. We have to really address these anti-vax people because we cannot lose our trust and belief in the vaccination program. And the way that it was written, it's like you cannot, wait a minute, stop. So you are admitting that the only thing that's perpetuating this mass carnage of humanity is a belief in something that doesn't even work. You're admitting it full front and center? I mean, shocking to me. They know it. They know that they have. That's why the mainstream, you know, mainstream lame media that we always talk about is their arm.
Corporate
media.
It's corporate media.
It's their propaganda arm because they send out all these messages so that you can continue to goose step to their program. Amazing.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that about, it was I can't remember the guy's name, it was a big story, a political advisor, I think the Republican advisor, believe it or not, he came out and said parents who refuse to vaccinate their children should be arrested. And their parent, and
yeah,
their
there was
children.
Something on Twitter the other day that said these anti-vax people should be like hung at dawn and put in FEMA camps.
See, when I hear that, I'm like, part of me is scared to death and very upset. Part of me is angry and about ready to shoot somebody. And the other part is like, I'm really happy because if they are coming that over the top, what does that say about their level of confidence?
Well, yeah. I mean, then suddenly, you know, these pro-vaccine pediatricians and family doctors and internists that have been poisoning people for a living for a long time are suddenly going to have to get up in the morning and if it's a woman putting on her makeup or a man going to shave, look themselves in the mirror and go, I've contributed to this.
Okay. I got one more question about Samoa and then just a broader question. After they did all the vaccinations, supposedly Samoa got, I've heard multiple reports, a $10 million grant, a $34 million grant, and they got another like $250,000 vials of vaccine. My question immediately when I saw that, okay, now I see what this is about, money. But then the other thought, just logically, just reasonably, if they just vaccinated everybody on the island in 48 hours, and it's supposed to give you immunity, then why do they need a $250,000 more vials to vaccinate people?
Bingo. The math doesn't work, does it?
No, I don't get it. Everybody's vaccinated. You're all covered and safe. Here, let us give you another $250,000 vaccinations. I don't get it.
I want to go back to what I just said a minute ago. I want to correct a quote because this is really important. I said this came from the CDC. It came from the U.S. Surgeon General, and I want to read it. CDC.gov is working with key partners to empower families, protect communities, and stop false myths about vaccination. We must work together to strengthen public trust in vaccines. Vaccinate with confidence. It's like to strengthen public trust. This came from the U.S. Surgeon General, right from the mouth of babes, saying we have to keep this faith. We have to keep goose stepping. We can't look left or right. We just have to kneel to the altar of the great pharmaceutical industry with the vaccine. Instead of a crucifix at the top, it has a syringe.
If something's good for you, you don't have to sell it, right? You don't need a lot of PR.
Exactly.
You just present it to people. It's something, if you gotta go through, God. All right, let me ask you a broader question.
Yep.
New Jersey is obviously pushing these other states. California is kind of leading the charge here. Not only are you required to have vaccines to go to school, the medical exemptions now have been extremely limited and they're going to be served through a governing panel type thing. Basically, nobody's going to get an exemption, a medical exemption, no religious exemptions at all. I think the rubber's going to meet the road somewhere. I just don't see, there's a certain percentage of people that are going to be, look, you can tell me whatever you want. My child is not getting vaccinated. His older brother is now retarded and can't even talk. There's no way in hell that you are vaccinating his younger brother.
Is that a question?
Yeah, do you think the rubber's going to meet the road at some point? Where does it come to? It's like, the immovable object meets the irresistible force.
That 10% tipping point that we talked about a couple of minutes ago, that sooner or later people are going to literally, physically revolt.
What I say they all the time, these controllers, these globalists, these, obviously they're usurping the Declaration of Independence. Obviously they're usurping the Bill of Rights. So when people say, well, I disagree with your opinion. No. Stop right there. No. Let's talk about law. You want to talk about law? Not only law in the United States, but let's talk about natural law. Let's talk about, universal endowment. I mean, nothing is on your side in this argument, the vaccine companies. But anyway, so you come to that point. How do we get to that point? Maybe that's a better question. Let me ask that. We got 2 minutes.
How do we get to that point? I think
yes.
We just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, for each person, like with those three tipping points that you said, to be convicted, be willing to spread it, and be unwavering in your conviction. You know, and the more people that we have like that, and the more resistance that we have, I mean, like what Bobby Kennedy said about what happened in New Jersey, we stood up to them, and even if we lose that particular war, we won that battle, which proves that we can do it. We just have to get more people that are willing to stand in their personal power, stand in their convictions, and not allow this to happen to their children. You know, that's expression, Daniel. It's like, do you want your great-great-grandchildren looking back at this point in time and saying, you had the opportunity to do something, and you didn't? Why didn't you step forward to try to help us?
What I get from people is, and even Joyce, we had this conversation many times, people want to do something, they want something to change, they're not sure what to do. What I try to get people to understand is just your ideas and spreading your ideas is one of the most powerful things. Not only that, things are coming. Things are changing, and you have to hold the line, and you have to believe. And one of my great friends, Marcia, she always says, God doesn't come early, but he always comes on time. God does not come early, but he always comes on time, ladies and gentlemen.
Very good.
And hold that line. We got about, 45 seconds or whatever. It is a pleasure, and I mean pleasure, always to talk to you. I'm so excited. I'm probably going to get to meet you in a couple months, and we're going to work on something special. I adore what you're doing. I'm very excited to meet you. And Vaxxer.com, I couldn't implore people more to use the resources and promote what you're doing over there. So last thought
Thank
is yours.
Thank you. And if you go to Vaxxer.com now, we've finally got it set up. It took a while because we had updated the site. But if you sign up for our email list, we will automatically email you an ebook that I wrote called 6 Sick Brains and Teen Violence. And it's something you don't want to miss. So sign up for our email list and get a free ebook from me.
There you go. Fantastic. What more could you ask for? Well, Merry Christmas to you. Certainly we'll be talking soon, Dr. Tenpenny. God bless.
Thanks to you. Thank you, Daniel. Merry Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is next week is Christmas. Our schedule is going to be a little ski-wompy. I think the beginning of the week we're going to have a live show. So we'll see you then. Remember, I want you to be happy, I want you to be healthy, I want you to be successful, and I want you to be free, as God intends you to be. Expect maybe early tomorrow you're going to get an email as a gift from us to your email. Check that out. And thank you again for your support. You mean the world to us over here at our family. We're all in, we're all committed. Dr. Tenpenny's committed. I wish nothing but the best for you, and Merry Christmas.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.